Welcome to Module 2, where we're going to be talking all about the functional behavior assessment process. That's a mouthful, right? But don't worry, we're going to break it all down. Now, this step is not a step you can skip. I know it's tempting to jump ahead to the behavior plan and the strategies and what we do, but first, we need to think about why we're doing them. You've probably heard this phrase a lot, a function-based intervention. And let's break down what that means. A function-based intervention means we're approaching the behavior with thinking about why the behavior is happening, the function. Every behavior happens for a reason, and before we can implement any strategies, we have to know why this behavior is happening. Now, let me just scare you into not skipping this step. If you skip the step of the functional behavior assessment and you don't think about function, you could be unintentionally using an intervention that actually makes the behavior worse. That scares you, right? None of us want to make anything worse. And none of us, of course, are going to do that on purpose. But if we take the time to do an FBA, really approach the behavior from the point of why is this behavior happening, we're going to have long-lasting behavior change that really works. So let's jump into our first step. So the point of the functional behavior assessment is twofold. First, we want to figure out why this behavior is happening. That's the function. There's some reason this behavior is occurring, and we got to figure out what that is. The second reason is we need to know where we're starting to know if improvement has been made. As we'll talk about in a little bit, we need to rely on data, not our opinions. So we need to know the baseline of where things are at. So we can't just assume things are better. We'll know for real that things are getting better. The first step in this process is to define the problem behavior. And if this is the first time you're hearing this, you're probably like, duh, Sasha, I know what the problem behavior is. It's aggression. It's running out of the room. It's tantruming. So why do we have to take the time to talk about this step? Well, first, behavior is subjective. I want you to take a minute right now and think of the definition of a tantrum. And really, think of it in your head. What does a tantrum look like? If someone asked you to define a tantrum, what would you say? Now, if I were to be polling all of you, which there's a lot of people watching this, we'd have a lot of different opinions, I can almost guarantee that we would have a ton of different examples of a tantrum. Some people might say a tantrum is laying on the floor crying. Some people might say a tantrum is being dysregulated. Some people might say a tantrum is throwing things. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I throw a pretty stellar silent tantrum with my husband. When I'm mad, I'm like quiet, but real loudly, like moving stuff around. That's my tantrum. All of those definitions are so different. Think about this example. This is a little funny one. So recently, the New York City subway banned all dogs unless they fit in a bag. Seems pretty specific, right? That behavior is well-defined. If you want to bring your dog, they have to fit in a bag. Well, this became a little subjective, but people did technically follow the definition. Check this out. I love the IKEA bag one. That's my favorite. Technically, people were following the definition, and it was specific, but this wasn't probably what New York City had intended. So when we think about behavior being subjective, the other reason we want to really take account of this is behavior change is a team endeavor. In every module of this course, we're going to talk about how you can work with your team and train your team on these strategies. So if we all have different definitions of tantrums, if half of New York has different definitions of what a dog in a bag means, we need to be sure we are very specific. Defining the behavior in a specific way will make staff training easier. I mean, alleluia to that. I know that's something that is hard for everyone. It helps data be more accurate, and it improves the consistency we implement interventions. That is a huge selling point right there. Also, our perspective changes. We do not just rely on our opinions here. Why? Well, special ed teachers have the risky skill of habituation. And guys, this is a great skill because it keeps us from not quitting our jobs. But there's a little negative point to this. So habituation means we get used to the norm real quick. So we have a bad day in September and you go home right after work and you have ice cream and wine for dinner and you tell your roommate or your significant other that you are done. I'm quitting. I'm going to be a barista. I am over this. You have the exact same day in February and you're like, today wasn't so bad. I only got bit 3 times. You say a sentence like that and you're like, that is not a normal sentence to say. We get used to it. And yes, this is a good thing. We're not getting burnt out, but are our kids making real changes? Is behavior change happening? Are kids learning new positive skills and decreasing negative skills? No, we're just getting used to it. We are just drowning out that noise. Someone comes in your classroom and they're like, what's that noise? And you're like, oh, I don't hear anything. And they're like, you don't hear that blood-curdling scream? And you're like, nope, that is now the soundtrack of my life. We get used to it. I kind of call this special ed nose blind. Do you remember those Febreze nose blind commercials? Other people smell it, we don't. That's okay that we don't, but we want to make sure that real behavior change is happening to our kids. So we have to rely on data to know that. Also, we want to make sure that we are taking data on the same thing all year. So if we're tracking a day with 10 tantrums in January, we want to make sure we're tracking those tantrums in the same way in June. Our perspective can slowly shift and the definition can slowly change. So if we take the time to write it down, we'll be tracking the same behavior throughout the whole year. So our first step is defining the problem behavior, being specific and detailed. And I have a download of a worksheet included with this video that's going to be really helpful for this process. When you define the problem behavior, you want to include what is observable and measurable. Only write down what you can see and hear. So saying that someone is dysregulated, they might be dysregulated, but can you see and count someone being dysregulated? Not necessarily. What about someone being angry? Can you observe that? I can observe someone throwing things. I can measure someone swearing. I can't observe someone just being angry. So the key here is, can you see it? Can you measure it? That is the goal. So let's go through a few examples. So off-task behavior. This is something we hear a lot, see a lot. But off-task behavior can look a lot of different things. A better definition would be stares out of the window, plays with pencils, and talks to peers during work time. That's something I can see and hear, so that's something I can count. Next, disrupts others' learning. Throws things directed at peers, takes item off peers' desks, and yells loudly. Great. I mean, not great. But that's something we can see and hear, so we can count it. Explosive reactions. Instead, define it as pushes materials, yells out, uses profanity, leaves desk area. Next, upset with changes in routine. Upset can look all different types of ways. You can be upset without people even knowing it. We want to know how this child is showing they are upset. So this child lays on the ground in front of the schedule, cries, throws schedule pieces. See it, hear it, check, check. Last one, poor organization. Instead, define it as papers are shoved in the desk and backpack, not in the folder, items are on the floor, assignments are not written in the planner. That's something we can measure and count. So let's go through a few more and decide if these are good definitions. And none of these guys are good behaviors. We're just saying, are these well-defined so we can go through that process of the functional behavior assessment with fidelity. So remember, it has to be something we can see and hear. First one. Doesn't like classmates. Is that a good definition? Nope. It's not specific enough, right? We can't count it. We can't measure it. Next, gets out of desk and hits other students. While it's not a good behavior, it is a well-written definition. It's specific. We can hear it, see it, we can count it. Next, has separation anxiety from parents. Again, this one isn't so well-defined. We want to know what that separation anxiety looks like. Crying, laying on floor, etc. Is spacey. I actually recently saw an IEP goal with this written in there. How would you track progress on this? Instead, define it as stares out of window, doodles on paper, etc. Non-compliance. This is a huge one I see all the time. Johnny's non-compliant. This person's non-compliant. Define what that looks like. Non-compliance can look different for a lot of different kids. So non-compliance is not a specific enough behavior definition for the FBA process. Yells no or you can't make me when asked to do something. This one is specifically defined. We can hear it, see it, we can count it. Draws pictures during group work. Again, this one is well defined. Observable and measurable. Check, check. So when you define the problem behavior, you can take it one level farther and add in the conditions and the contextual information. So the conditions are what types of conditions the behaviors are likely to occur in. So during this FBA process, you likely have a learning history with the child. You're not just coming to meet them the first time. You likely have an idea of when these behaviors are going to occur and what they look like. So you can add in these conditions and then that context, you know, some kind of notes on frequency, intensity, or duration to help you define the behavior even more. So let's do a few examples when we add in the conditions and the contextual information to our problem behavior. So first, our problem behavior is Johnny talks with peers about non-academic topics. Well, our conditions are that we typically see this during independent activities that are over 20 minutes. This is going to give me some good clues for when we're a few steps more farther along in the process on when I need to be taking data. Some context for this is it happens on average 4 times a week. Now, this isn't our hard, fast data, but this is, again, going to give me some clues on best ways to collect data, best ways to train my staff. Problem behavior is Angela falls to the floor screaming and crying. The conditions are it happens often when given a verbal request, and the context is it typically lasts for more than 5 minutes. Again, this isn't our hard and fast data. This is just the context we put it in, which will help our steps later down the road. And last one, Jessica hits a peer on the back of the head. The conditions are this happens at various times throughout the day. If you don't know the conditions, that's also helpful information because that's going to really help you set up your ABC data in a better way so you can know that this can happen pretty much at any time. The context here, this is high magnitude, happens frequently, more than 10 times in a day. So let's do a little practice defining some tantrums. And because tantrums are hilarious with toddlers, let's go ahead and start with a toddler. So as we watch this video, think in your head how you would specifically define this behavior. Remember, it has to be observable and measurable. So let's watch our first one.
Hey, what's wrong?
I want a cookie.
I think you had enough cookies. You had enough cookies, baby. You had enough cookies.
So how would you define this behavior? Yes, this is a tantrum, but let's be more specific on what we can see and hear. So she's crying. She's whining, right? She's also kind of doing this little nonsense argument talk, which is pretty adorable. So those are some things we would add in into our behavior definition. Let's do two more. Okay, so our next tantrum is another funny tantrum because the office is funny. So let's watch Andy's tantrum and define it when we are done watching it.
And if you don't like the way that I take phone messages, here, take them yourself.
Our sex life is none of anyone's business.
And Andy is the manager, not Nelly.
Stop protecting me. I'm a man. I can protect myself. This is misdirected anger, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to lash out at you. There's a lot coming up right now, all at once. Dad, go to hell. I'm taller than you.
Okay, just calm down.
You're not the manager. I earned that job. I was personally chosen after Robert was chosen and quit.
Andy, why don't you just take a seat?
Why don't you take a seat, idiot?
What'll you jiggle your stupid memos and your stupid pens and your dumb caramels?
And your stupid face! And your stupid office!
Ah! He does not like that wall.
Okay, so how would we define this tantrum? First of all, my favorite part of this video is when Nelly tells him to calm down. Like, that helps, right? I saw a funny meme a few months ago that said, never in the history of people being told to calm down has anyone ever calmed down. So Andy's tantrum, it was yelling, swearing, throwing things, punching the wall, property destruction. That's how we would define Andy's tantrum. Okay, so last example here.
Come on, bud. We're done. It's time to go. Come on. We're not gonna do this again.
Dog tantrums are pretty hilarious too. So how would you define this tantrum? The dog was rolling around. He was whining, kind of crying, refusing to stand up. That would be the specific definition we would give this behavior. So don't forget to grab the download with this lesson of the Define the Problem Behavior Worksheet. This should be your template that's really going to guide the process of defining the problem behavior and then figuring out how to measure the problem behavior. That's what we'll be talking about next in our next lesson.